Disclaimer, I am a counseling student, I am not a mental health professional, and I cannot give or offer mental health services. You're listening to Good You. I am your host, Samantha, and today we're going to be discussing panic attacks versus anxiety attacks. I hope you're ready. Let's get started. So, you know, I feel like I sometimes use those words interchangeably, and they are completely different. They are two different things, and I want to talk to you all about what they are and allow you to have that knowledge to be able to work on those things in your life. If you suffer from panic attacks or anxiety attacks, you know how scary they can be. Just knowing which one is what is going to be more helpful to you, I think, because it was more helpful to me learning which one is which, because I don't know, for me, knowledge is power when it comes to my mental disorders and learning about them. I know some people that doesn't help. Some people feel like it hinders them to know more about that. And that's totally okay. And I respect that. For me, it does help. I feel like I have this control over just knowing more about what's happening to me, you know? So I know that, like I said, I think a lot of people tend to use anxiety attacks and panic attacks interchangeably and not know what's happening in the moment either. So we'll start off with the anxiety attacks. And by the way, this is going to be a pretty short episode. So I hope y'all are good with that. So anxiety attacks are going to be more worry-based, whereas panic attacks are going to be based off of fear, a fear response. So when it comes to anxiety attacks, they are more gradual, okay? So it's not something immediate like a panic attack. Anxiety attacks, you're going to gradually feel more and more anxious. So if you suffer from anxiety or an anxiety disorder, you've probably had an anxiety attack. And what it is you're constantly anxious. Maybe you're not working on your anxiety, having any anxiety coping skills, whether that's, you know, self-care or going to therapy, taking medications, whatever it is, your anxiety is building up over time. And what happens is that buildup, there's no release. So eventually it's going to release into an anxiety attack. So it builds more and more intense, either over minutes, hours, or days. It can take days before the anxiety attack goes away. And even though they last longer than panic attacks are going to be the more severe attack. Anxiety attacks, you know what's happening in a way. You know you're really stressed. You've become overwhelmed. It's that feeling of being overwhelmed, like that, oh my gosh, like I really should have been taking care of this and myself. I mean, I remember one of my first anxiety attacks, and I was in high school. I'm sure there were plenty before, but this one stuck out to me so much. I had been so anxious either over midterms or finals, and I ended up getting the wrong coffee order, and I just lost it in an anxiety attack. I just like, and it wasn't obviously over the coffee, but it was what triggered like that. I hadn't slept in days. I was worried about not doing well. I put so much pressure on myself without relieving any of that anxiety. And I ended up in having an anxiety attack over my coffee order, over this poor barista, okay, that I put what I put her through. But yeah, that's what'll happen. If you're not taking care of yourself, if you're not getting sleep, okay, that definitely was something that if I could go talk to past me about, get sleep. If there's anyone in school who listens to this podcast, make sure you're not pulling all-nighters, because I thought that was the way to go. You know, I was like, I am such a good student. I'm pulling an all-nighter. That's how good of a student I am. When in reality, I was just procrastinating and waiting until like the week of midterms or finals to study. And I thought, well, I can just cram all this information in the end, instead of just gradually studying. No, don't do that. Just not worth it. That's what caused my anxiety attack. Okay. So anxiety, when you're having an anxiety attack, you're going to have symptoms like increased heart rate. You're going to have hypervigilance. So that could come out as being jumpy or just easily startled. You're going to have problems sleeping. You're going to have restlessness and you're going to be tired. So you're going to have symptoms of fatigue. You're going to have difficulty concentrating, and that can go hand in hand with, you know, you losing sleep. And you're going to be irritable, which again, like, sleep is a form of self-care. Getting good sleep is a form of self-care and will help with your anxiety. If you are not getting good sleep, like, that needs to become a priority. Those symptoms of obviously fatigue, difficulty concentrating, and irritability can definitely all be stemmed from not getting good sleep. But this again could just be your anxiety causing your lack of ability to get good sleep. So just make sure that when you're not getting good sleep, that's a good sign that you're probably under anxiety. For me, I even still like have problems understanding when I am anxious, and I will go, I tend to be like, no, everything's fine. Like, I'm fine. Nothing crazy is going on, but my schedule is booked to the brim. And I then end up having an anxiety attack and I'm overwhelmed. And I'm like, of course I'm having an anxiety attack right now. So it's just making sure that you're really taking care of yourself and also checking in with yourself. Like, am I really doing okay? Because there are so many times where I am lying to myself and I'm telling myself that I'm doing fine and I'm not. I am, like I said, like, my schedule's packed. I have to, you know, these are very little, but when you put them all together, big, right? I have to go to school. I have two jobs right now. I started a podcast. I maybe even have to get my dog from daycare. I have to make sure that my house is picked up and clean so I don't go crazy. I have to make sure that my stuff is organized and making sure that I'm up to date on my homework and my podcast and the Instagram for the podcast. I mean, I take one thing at a time and I'm trying to be more present instead of viewing everything that I have to do in one cluster like that. Because when I say all that, it sounds very overwhelming. And that's why I have to be taking care of myself, journaling, meditating, anything that helps is something that I'm just trying to take some time and be more present. So make sure that you're really focused on that and checking in with yourself and being honest with yourself. So let's talk some about panic attacks. And this section will be a little longer. So like I said before, panic attacks are sudden. They're going to come out of nowhere. They're fear-based. So panic attacks are an adrenaline spike, and it's because of a specific perceived threat that you have, like that's around you, right? So either triggers from some type of trauma could cause a panic attack. Phobias can cause a panic attack. Let's say you have a fear of flying and you have to get on this airplane to go wherever you're going. And you know, you're facing your fears, but that definitely could cause you to have a panic attack or maybe taking an elevator. I definitely can be claustrophobic. I hate elevators. I take them when I have to. I don't like it, especially when the doors take 10 years to open. Have you ever been in an elevator that takes forever to open? And you're just like, well, here it is. This is the day. This is the day I'm stuck in an elevator and I'm going to have to press that emergency button. And I don't know, what if it's not working? Like, everything goes and then the doors open and then all that was for nothing. But that happens to me. So anything like that, it's definitely a fear response. You're in a fight or flight mode during a panic attack. Some symptoms of panic attacks is you're going to see like increased heart rate as well. So that's similar with the anxiety attacks. However, what's different is you're going to have also like rapid heart rate and chest pain at the same time. So this can be so bad that people having a panic attack can actually think that they're having a heart attack. And for so long, I thought that was so crazy, right? I had no idea that that could be that severe until it happened to me. And I ended up going to an ER for what I thought was having a heart attack. And people think that, you know, oh, just, you know, you're fine. Like, they don't ever tell someone having a panic attack, they're fine. Because in all reality, you feel like you are dying. You feel like you have no control over your body. And those mental aspects of what's happening in my head saying that I'm dying are also confirmed by physical aspects. My heart is racing. I do feel dizzy. And to be told that I'm fine by someone who has no idea what I'm feeling is very invalidating, first of all. And then you just feel like very alone, like, oh man, I'm going to die alone right now. You know, I'm going to tell my story and then I'll get back to the rest of the symptoms. There was a time where my heart was pounding really hard. I had been waking up in the middle of the night, feeling really dizzy, my heart racing. I had no idea what was happening. And I know that sometimes, like I said, like panic attacks are trigger-based, fear-based. I don't really understand why I was having panic attacks in my sleep at this time. And I still don't know, probably something I should talk about with my therapist, to be honest. Now that I'm doing this episode, I'm actually thinking about it. But yeah, I was waking up like that. I even told my husband, Craig, I was like, hey, like, if I pass out right now, I need you to check my pulse because I feel like I'm having a heart attack. I didn't understand what was happening. I've never had a panic attack before this. This was probably like three, four years ago. It wasn't too long ago, my first panic attack. And so I had been getting more and more worried. I didn't know what was happening. This was happening a few days in a row. So one day I'm driving to work and I call a doctor. I'm trying to schedule an appointment with a cardiologist. I didn't know what to do, what was going on. So I'm telling the nurse at the desk my symptoms. I'm saying, you know, my resting heart rate right now is 145. And she said, you need to go to the hospital. You need to go to the hospital right now. So when she says that, panic completely took over. It was almost like confirmed to me that she even said, like, you could be having a heart attack. And when she said that, thank God I was parked because my vision completely blacked out. And I felt like I was going to faint. I was by myself. That was very scary, but I was parked at work. And I ended up running inside to work and telling my mom, like, I need to go to the hospital. I need to go to the ER. Someone needs to bring me. The doctor said I could be the nurse said that I could be having a heart attack right now. And I'm crying and I'm hyperventilating. I'm having all the symptoms, but genuinely, looking back, like, I obviously, I've never experienced it before. And it makes sense that it's not something that I could have possibly ever known what was happening to me. But after going and spending over $900 from an ER visit, I found out it was a panic attack. So when you tell someone that's having a panic attack that they're fine, my resting heart rate at 145 is not fine. It's not fine to me. I mean, normal heart rate is what, 60 to 80 beats per minute. And I'm at 145 sitting down. I think that when we invalidate people having such a severe reaction to what's happening to them, it just feels like, I can't even describe how it feels. You genuinely feel like you're going crazy. You feel like you're like, am I about to like go through this by myself? It's terrifying. It's scary because you think like, oh my God, like no one's going to believe me and I'm going to die right now because no one believes that this is as bad as it is. No one believes I'm having a heart attack, right? And I wasn't, but how scary is it for someone to be in that situation and thinking they genuinely are, but no one believing them? Now I did end up going that day. because I was advised by a nurse, I think that made my parents like realize like, okay, like she needs to go. And I got a friend to bring me, but it definitely was a wake up call for where I was mentally, and working on my anxiety and my, and whatever that was that triggered me. I do think that it was working. I was working at the restaurant, at my parents' restaurant, full time. And I think moving back in town after being in college and working full time with my family did cause extreme anxiety in my life. And I had triggers that were happening daily that I was just ignoring. So now that I look back, like I know that's what it was. And I, like I said, I don't know how it was happening in my sleep. I guess that my body was just constantly in this state of anxiety and panic. Because I was like stuck in this trigger. But anyway, so that story for me is just like that. That's what I feel like had to happen to me for me to actually understand what people go through. And you know, every now and then I still have a panic attack, or I still suffer from panic attacks, but it's definitely not as severe, because I'm able to catch it. And it's not something like that I don't know what's happening anymore. Like I'm aware of it. I actually know people who know that they have panic attacks, but still every time they think that they're having a heart attack, or a lot of the time they still having severe physical symptoms. And it takes kind of breaking that thought process and getting back to a neutral standpoint to get out of it. But yeah, it's really scary to have to go through that and to see someone go through it too. Sometimes it can be overwhelming. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. I can tell you one thing. Do not say you're fine. Just drink some water. Like it'll go away. In the moment, none of that makes sense. In the moment, it doesn't feel like it's going to go away. It feels like it's going to last literally forever. In the moment, it's not okay. In the moment, drinking water is not going to make my panic attack disappear. If only, right? If water was the solution, but it's not. Listen to them. Let them know, like, I'm here for you. I want to help you through this. Let me know what I can do to be here and to be present with you. Do you want to do some breathing exercises with me? Sometimes people in panic attacks, like, do not want to do the things that will help. And it can be frustrating to the person wanting the help because you're just like, well, what am I supposed to do now? But like, think of it as they really think that it's not going to help them in the moment. It feels like a waste of time. Like I'm having a heart attack. How is breathing going to help me? You know what I'm saying? Like I need help. I need like doctor help, but it just takes patience. It takes learning, outside of the panic attack as well. So practicing, okay, when I'm having a panic attack, how can I recognize that I'm having one? Because sometimes it's like impossible until maybe close to the end. Sometimes when I'm having them, like I said, it's not as severe as me thinking I'm having a heart attack every time, but it is to the point where I'm out of control and losing my body to where I feel like I'm like completely detached from myself. I'm yelling, I'm screaming. And then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I I'm having a panic attack. I need like a minute. Like I need a minute. I need everyone to just back away. And that's how it helps me. For me, I need a moment to think. A lot of the times, like I have a trigger of being confronted in a way that doesn't give me breaks and doesn't allow me space to think. And especially like, I do think I have ADHD. I feel like I've said that before, but I think that that plays a lot in that because my thought processing takes a little longer than others. And like, I think that when people are trying to ask me these questions or what I said, or how I interpreted things and like all this at once, and I'm trying to break it down in my head, but then the overwhelming sense of me not being able to is when I start panicking. And So like if they come in a lot of forms, be patient with your loved ones. But for those who are having panic attacks, make sure that you are working on them, not just during, but outside of them. Like you really have to prepare yourself for them, because if you've had them before, you're most likely going to have them again. And for those who know people that your loved ones have them, like prepare yourself, do research on what's best to say and how to break them. And I'll give you actually some ways to beat a panic attack after I talk more about the symptoms, since I went on a complete tangent just now. But so after the heart palpitations and chest pain, you'll also have symptoms of hyperventilating, which can lead to dizziness and lightheadedness. You can have nausea and stomach pain, you can have the sense of being choked or smothered, like you can't breathe, that, you know, hand in hand with the hyperventilating, and feeling detached from your body or surroundings. So you basically heard all of that in my stories of what I was telling you. It's terrifying having a panic attack, and I completely feel you if you've had one. It's something that if you haven't had one, you can't understand fully. And no matter how much you want to understand, I think a lot of people can view someone having a panic attack as being dramatic. And now that I've experienced one, or multiple, obviously, that is the most frustrating thing in the world to hear, or for how someone to act. It is not dramatic. It is full physical symptoms occurring. It's not just my mind. My body is at the same time reacting to my mind. So if I'm having these physical symptoms, doesn't it make sense that it's something more than my mental panic attack, right? That's why it's important to know what it is. Know that panic attacks can cause physical symptoms. That way, when you're in the middle of it, you can say, okay, I know my heart's racing right now, and I know it feels like I'm going to have a heart attack, but like, I'm not having the signs of a heart attack besides my increased heart rate. I know I'm hyperventilating. I know I'm having a lot more signs of a panic attack right now. And that is best case scenario that you're going to talk to yourself like that. But even outside of it, even afterwards, to validate yourself and say, that was a panic attack and I'm okay now. I understand, you know, that that's what it was. And don't just ignore or bypass it. Like, talk with yourself, learn about your panic attacks. What caused it? How can you prevent it? People who are having panic attacks feel as though they're going crazy, they're losing control, and feel like they're going to die. So again, do not invalidate people. If you feel like you're going crazy and someone's making you feel like you're going crazy, it's definitely lonely. Just sit with that person and be their safe space in that moment, even if it's just sitting next to them in silence. Okay. If words are overwhelming them, just sit in silence. Even if you close your eyes and start doing deep breathing, like they don't want to do it, but you're doing it next to them, it can just be your presence there that's going to help. They're not alone. So how to beat a panic attack for those who are having them. Try to stop and take 3 slow, deep breaths. If you can do more and you want to do more, great. Especially if it's helping. This one depends on the situation. If you're in a dangerous situation, obviously leave. Like, your fear response is happening for a reason in that situation, leave the situation. But if you're not in a physical or mentally, emotionally dangerous situation, try to stay and work through it there, because you have to work through that fight or flight response that your body is trying to put yourself through, that initial response. And if you're able to overcome that, then that could help to either reduce the panic attack in the future or deplete it completely. That's been a lot of mine. Like, I feel like a lot of my panic attacks are caused from triggers, and I tried my best after a panic attack or a trigger response to sit there and say, okay, what was it that caused this? Why did this trigger me? And it's a lot of the times it has to do with something from my past that caused some sort of trauma that I worked through in that moment. And the next time I might have another panic attack, or I'll call it what it is in the beginning and say, okay, this is, you know, this is a trigger, and hopefully it allows me to stay in control of the moment. Be aware of your surroundings. This allows you to break tunnel vision. So panic attacks, it's affecting your vision. So look side to side, try to spot things in the room. This could also go into focusing on your senses. This is another way to break your panic attack. You know, sight, smell, taste, sound, touch, any of the senses, try to really focus on them. Rub your hands together, sniff the room. You have a candle in your room, that's grab that candle, start smelling it, put a piece of candy in your mouth. If you're not hyperventilating, of course, listen to your breathing, listen to your slow and thoughtful breaths and intentional breaths. The last one would be to speak out loud in full and complete sentences in order to help prevent the hyperventilating to start. When you're having a panic attack, those breaths are going to become shorter and shorter. Make sure you're trying to speak fully and completely, because the shorter your breaths get, the more panic induces, right? And then you start hyperventilating. So to avoid that, try speaking in full sentences out loud, like not in your head. But yeah, those are some ways to help and also decipher whether you're having anxiety or panic attack. I feel like I learned a lot in researching this. So I hope today's episode helped anyone out there that suffers from anxiety or panic attacks. I think this was kind of a cool topic because, like I said, like I say all the time, like, having a panic attack, I'm having an anxiety attack, but like I'm not using them correctly. And also just knowing more about what's happening to me definitely empowers me to be able to work through them and work on them for my future self. So I will see you guys next week, and I hope you have a lovely day.
Today's music was written and produced by Tyler O'Brien. You can find him on Instagram at Dreamscape, DREAMSCAPE, and follow his band at Wastelander_band on Instagram.